2 Peter chapter 1. We're not going to read our whole text, you know, but I think we'll start in verse 5, and it'll give us enough context to move forward. Well, I just told you verse 5, but now I do want to read you verse 3, and then we'll stop in verse 5. Okay, verse 3, 2 Peter 1, 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the, you say it, knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Now, I had you say the word knowledge because we're going to, in a sense, be talking about that today. So look at verse 5. And beside this, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. So this is what God wants us to add. And so I'm looking forward to this. Our titles, I have three titles for you. Two of them you're familiar with. One is Overcoming Doubt. This is the overall title for this series. Because in the end, Paul says, or rather Peter says, if you add these things, then it will remove your doubts. That's a blessing. He also, in our verses, particularly 5 through 11, or rather 5 through 7, he speaks of the pattern of Christian growth or spiritual growth. So another title would be Getting Back to God's Pattern of Spiritual Growth. Okay? Now our title for today, Wisdom is Natural When You Obey God. Let me say that again. Wisdom is natural when you obey God. That's what we're going to talk about today. Is that something you talked to somebody else about?
No, my last name's Wisdom.
Oh, okay, yeah. Wisdom, yes. Well, I hate to say it, we're not going to be talking about you tonight, but what we will be talking about can be applied to you. So let's pray. Father, we pray your blessings. We thank you for your word, and it's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Wisdom is one of those attributes as a Christian. Number one, you know you need it. And number two, you're not entirely sure how you get it, you know? And so it's one of those things where you say, okay, I know that as a Christian, I need to be wise. I'm not entirely sure how it is that I'm going to become wise. And so, you know, wisdom is almost in a sense one of those principles that it's hard to figure out how it works. You know, especially if you've not been saved for very long, you've not heard a lot of teachings about what wisdom even is, then the whole principle or concept of wisdom, biblical wisdom, is it's something you feel like you're maybe reaching for it, but you're not really sure if you ever have it, you know? And tonight God wants to give us wisdom. He wants us to understand how we get wisdom, where it comes from. And most people would say they need wisdom. However, most people would also say they usually don't have wisdom. They operate in the realm of making decisions without wisdom. And if you're honest, you do that sometimes. Now, whenever somebody makes those claims, like, for instance, let's say you were to say, Pastor, I'm not really sure that I operate in the realm of wisdom all of the time. You would probably be doing that from a genuine heart. You would probably be saying, you know, I need to be wise, and I've not been wise lately. So give me a tool that'll help me to make wise choices, to be a wise Christian. And you would probably identify with that. So to kind of understand what I'm talking about with this concept, I want you to think of somebody, you know, let's just give a name to somebody, Uncle Frank, you know, Uncle Frank, good old Uncle Frank. You know, Uncle Frank is the guy who lives about 1,000 miles away. He's in your family and you see him once about every 2 years. You know what I'm talking about? Do you actually have an Uncle Frank? All right, there we go. So you are relating with this very well. So he lives a long ways away. And you know him, if he's your brother, you know, that might be a little different than what I'm saying here, but you know about Uncle Frank, you know he's in the bloodline, you know some about him. You only see him once every other year unless there's a funeral. Then you see him more often, you know, like you saw him twice that year. But you don't know a whole lot about him. But you know him, right? Well, wisdom is like Uncle Frank with us sometimes. We know about wisdom. But sometimes in our life, wisdom lives about 1,000 miles away. And we know about it, but we don't really know wisdom all that well. You know, we know that it's a part of who we're supposed to be as a Christian, but we just don't connect too often. And what does that mean? It means we need this truth that Peter is giving us tonight. It means we need this principle. We need to fit into what Peter is trying to explain to these Christians whenever he says, we need knowledge. We need what wisdom can give us. We need this attribute applied to our lives. And so if that's you, you'd say, yes, I have a need of wisdom. I don't have wisdom applied to my life like I should. It does feel like it's not in my life sometimes. That doesn't mean you don't care about wisdom. It just means you're not really totally sure how you're going to get it or how it works in your life. So Peter here is, you know, bringing up a topic with this word knowledge that's going to be of great interest to you. Now, don't get nervous. We're going to do word study tonight, and you'll understand how the knowledge Peter is speaking of is, in fact, wisdom, and it's going to be a real help to us tonight. Now, Peter was writing to a group of people, a group of Christians. We're not entirely sure what churches he was writing to, which is interesting to me. There's no specific region that is allocated, this book is allocated to, but we do know, according to chapter 3, verse 1, he was writing to a particular group of either churches or a particular church. So he addressed a church, and there was a need that apparently he knew about that was in that church. There was false doctrine that was being circulated around, and they needed to be strengthened against that false doctrine, that false teaching. So Peter wrote this great book. He wrote it to people who would have been excited to hear about this. These people would have been much like you and I. They wouldn't have been a whole lot different than us. If you can imagine that you're a member of the church that this letter was written to, and you're there, you're working in the market, you're on the strip downtown in whatever region you are, and you're there, you're doing your work in the market, you're merchandising or whatever it is that you're doing there. And then there comes Betty Sue. She's running down the road and she's scurrying, a little quicker than Betsy Sue usually scurries, and she's on her way to you, and she gets close, and something's on her mind, and she gets close, she starts to whisper, because, this is in a time where we're not in the United States of America, where we can broadcast Christianity and not worry about going to jail or getting stoned about it, but in Bible times, in the time when Peter was writing, as a matter of fact, many think that this was Peter's last testament, and I believe it was the case. It wasn't too long after he wrote this book, he was crucified. And so there was great persecution. So Betsy Sue would have been scurrying down the marketplace to meet up with the member of the church, which we're saying was you. And when she got closer, she would have whispered to you, not broadcasting it, but she would have said something like this. I just got to tell you, I'm so excited. Pastor has gotten a new letter written directly from Peter. It's his second letter. And listen, pastor's going to be reading the second letter from Peter at church in our next meeting. You're not going to want to miss this. And, Betsy Sue scurries away. Can you imagine the feeling you're having at that moment? You can hardly wait. I mean, you're having chills from top to bottom. The apostle Peter, the one, according to 3:1, we know he knows you and we know that you know him. So there's obviously a love there, and there's a relationship there. And so knowing that Peter had written a letter, you also understood, would have understood, that Peter is a man of God. And he was an apostle, therefore his letter was scripture. Peter had a message from God. You're going to be so excited for that next church service, you couldn't hardly sleep. And whenever church started, now I don't know how church services necessarily operated then. I'm sure it was home to home. And so there's a group of people packed into a house, and their pastor comes in. He's got the scroll written directly from Peter himself, which is what we're reading tonight. And he comes walking in, and there you are, Betsy Sue sitting next to you. You know, she's your buddy. And you're there. You're like a child. You're wiggly in the seat. You can't hardly wait to hear what Peter said, right? Listen, these people aren't a whole lot different than us. And what they're going through, we go through. And whenever Peter brings up, we need to add to our faith virtue, which we studied last time, these people would have understood this. These concepts would have been refreshing. They would have understood. They would have been saved just like you got saved. Remember that day when the Holy Spirit spoke to you? God spoke to them the same way. They got saved the same way you did. And so that faith Peter speaks of when he says you need to add to your faith, you're there sitting next to Betsy Sue and you heard Pastor say directly from the message, from the scroll written directly from Peter in the pen of Peter, and you're hearing Pastor say, Peter says we need to add to our faith virtue, you would have said, amen. I got saved and I remember that day and I need to grow. I need to add virtue and remember what we studied. And possibly Pastor would have explained virtue maybe again, right? He would have said, now let's not forget virtue is moral excellence. It's changing to be like Christ. It's being, or rather taking stands in moral issues where God stands. And we studied that last week, so I'm not going to rehash that with you. But that's virtue. And maybe Pastor would have made a note, but you see, you would have understood virtue. You would have known the changes that took place when you got saved. You remember that. And then he says, but we're not going to stop at virtue. We add to our faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. You would have gotten excited about hearing about that. Knowledge. The word knowledge would have struck you as interesting. Why? Well, that's why we're going to do a word study tonight. But the word knowledge used in verse number 3, it's a different word that's used in verse number 5 in Greek. And so it would have had a different meaning. It would have been just a little bit different kind of knowledge than the precise corrective type of knowledge that Peter referred to in verse number 3. Now, you might remember whenever Peter in verse number 3, brought up knowledge, let's look at it real quick just to see what he said specifically. He said, according to this divine, as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him. So we're speaking of a knowledge that God gives us, right? And it's the knowledge of him. So it's a knowledge that comes from God. And that word is a word that means precise or accurate or correct knowledge. And so right there wrapped up in that word is a lot of meaning. It's saying you have been taught something that's completely wrong. And now in this book, I want to help you to correct what you've been taught in the past that was wrong. And we're going to give you the right knowledge, the truth, right? And so you are encouraged already, but that's the theme of this whole book. I mean, that's why he used that word 2 times in the first 4 verses, because we're setting a sort of we're pacing ourselves here. We're setting a theme, and the theme of this book is to correct that false teaching that we've had in our past. You know, and by the way, that we will have in the future. It will give us the tools we need to be able to counterattack against that false teaching we will be receiving, right? And so we have that word knowledge, and Peter gave that to them to help them to see there's context here. Now, tonight we're going to be taking time to unpack the word knowledge that's in verse number 5, which is a different word. There's a lot of meaning packed into that word, and that's why we're going to do a word study tonight. This is not going to take for a long time, but I want you to consider this. Now, we have you, you're back in Bible times, you have Betsy Sue sitting next to you, you got all these congregation, and you have the pastor with the actual scroll from Peter, I mean, right there on the spot. The letter was just delivered. And so, you know, we have the context there. And whenever you heard, add to your faith, you would have known faith. Virtue, you would have known virtue. And add to your virtue knowledge, you probably would have known what that is too. But whenever we fast forward to 2018, and we say, add to your faith virtue. That word faith, sometimes we're not entirely sure what he's talking about. So we explain that word, didn't we? And then we add virtue. Well, we explain virtue. Because virtue, do we ever hear the word virtue anymore? Most people don't know what virtue is. So we explain that word. And then we move into the next thing. We say, now, if you're going to grow, you need to add knowledge. And if we just say, take that word at face value there, and in context, we can have a better understanding, but we don't do a word study on this, and we think that maybe this knowledge is just something that we just sort of cram ourselves with, like whenever we're studying for a test, you know? As long as I get it in me, then I'm ready to go. But that's not what it is. There's more to it. It's partly that. Let me mislead you here. It's partly that, taking it in. But it's more than that. And I want to show you that. And we're going to do that in our message tonight. We're going to see how that the knowledge he's talking about in verse 5 is referring to wisdom. And we're going to explain how you get it. How does it come in? And so this is going to be good tonight. I think you'll be encouraged by this. The first thing we need to learn then is, what is Paul talking about when he used the word knowledge in our verse number 5? Now, it says add to virtue knowledge. Add is implied, even though it doesn't say add, it's implied. That word add implies to, you know, it applies to all of the things that we're going to be, the attributes that we're going to be adding. And so you might remember, this is important, okay? Whenever you're adding something, it's an action. So you have to take action. It's like Thanksgiving Day. You know what happens on Thanksgiving Day? We got the spread, and there's more food there. If you just took a tablespoon, you wouldn't have enough to put it all on your plate of all the options. That's a good problem, by the way. So we need to add things, right? It's an action. It requires you to dig in and add it, right? Get the spoon out. Let's add this. So we need to pursue this knowledge. You don't just sit back and you're sitting in a lecture and you're taking it in. No, we pursue this knowledge. So the question obviously then is, how do we pursue it? And as we're going to be learning this, how to pursue, let me say this. This isn't a book smart. You're not going to get this knowledge in Sunday school. This kind of knowledge he's talking about, you're not going to get it in Sunday school, and you're not going to get it at Bible college. Okay? Because when you go to Sunday school, you're taking it in. When you go to Bible college, you're taking it in, right? That's not the kind of knowledge that we're doing here, okay? So as we prepare for this, get your brain ready, okay? Because we're going to be getting the shovel out and digging a little bit deep. Now, again, look at verse number 2 and 3. It says in verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge. In verse number 3, it says, again, middle of the verse, knowledge of him. That word there, knowledge, is the Greek word epignosis. That's the Greek word. It means precise or correct, and we already discerned that's the theme for the whole book of 2 Peter. Now, go up to verse 5. Beside this, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. This word knowledge isn't epignosis. It is gnosis. Okay? Gnosis. Well, thanks, Pastor. What is that? Well, it means experience. It means experience. It means skill. Skillful. Like skillful in godly living. Right? This is the kind of knowledge that lives it. This is the kind of knowledge that has taken it in and now has applied it. Do you see? So you've learned, I know, therefore I do. Right? It sounds sort of like James chapter 1, verse 22, which says, be ye a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Right? Jesus talks about it whenever he, in Matthew chapter 7, speaks about the wise man builds his house upon the rock, the foolish man builds his house upon the sand. Okay? And what is the wise man? He's wise, he built his house on the rock. What is the foolish man? He's foolish, he built his house on the sand. But what makes a person wise or foolish? It's the one who hears the sayings of mine and what? Doeth them. So you don't just hear, you don't just take it in like lecture style. You do it. You take it in and you do it. That's wisdom. These are wise men that build their house on a rock. They're taking it in and they're doing it. That's the knowledge we're talking about here. Now, I promise you we're going to do a word study, so let's do that, okay? I want to take you to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. This is the only other passage we're going to go to, so don't get nervous. Romans chapter 2. This is maybe a biblical parallel, so we can take this word knowledge and see it in action. Okay? Romans 2. Now we're going to start in verse 17. Romans 2:17. Now, let me remind you, our word is gnosis. That's our word, gnosis. Oh, that touches you, doesn't it? Every time I say that, it gets even better. Gnosis. That's the word we're talking about, the knowledge here. Verse 17, look what it says. It says, "Behold, thou art called a," what? "A Jew. And restest," this is what Jews do. This is what he goes on to say. "And restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God." So clearly Paul is speaking to Jews who knew the Mosaic law. They tried to follow the Mosaic law. That's who he's talking about in verse 17. He's referring to these Jews that follow the law, right? Now go to verse 18. "And," what's the next word? "Knowest." Now this is gnosko. So it's not the same gnosis. I know I'm getting you all twisted. But hey, I told you to get your brain amped up because we're getting the shovel out, okay? This word knowest means to learn to know or to be instructed. This word literally means you're sitting in the lecture class at Bible college. You're taking it in. That's what the Jews were. They were taking it in. The problem was on the other part. But they had all the knowledge. And man, they were like sponges. They memorized the scripture like nobody's business. The Jews knew the Mosaic law. They knew the Bible, okay? Look what he says, verse 18. "And knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being," what's the next word? "Instructed out of the law." So right in context, we know what that word knowest is. It's being instructed out of the law. And so here we have these Jews. They don't have wisdom. What do they have? Book knowledge. They have book knowledge. They have zero experience. They've got the Bible college, but they haven't been in the ministry yet. Does that make sense? That's what we have. By the way, there's a let me address you about this for a second. I think we all would agree with this. There's a common problem with people who have the book knowledge but zero experience. What is it? Pride, puffed up. They think they know more than they do. We've all been there, right? Okay, so knowledge then puffs up in the sense of this word. And so that's what Paul is talking about. Your knowledge isn't helping you. It's just making you puffed up. Look at verse 19. "Thou art," what's the next word he says? "Confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind and a light to them that are in darkness." Verse 20, "an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes." So this is what the Jews thought themselves. Let me take a time out here, okay, Aiden? Look at me. You're going to have to stop talking, okay? Thank you. All right. So what these Jews had is a book knowledge. They had no experience, and they considered themselves confident instructors of people who don't know anything. I'm going to teach people, right? And so that's what they do. Now let's go on. Let's see. Where were we? We're in verse 20. The last part of verse 20. Let me go ahead and start in the beginning of verse 20. "And instructors of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of," what's the next word? Knowledge. That's gnosis. Gnosis, that's our word in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. That is our word. But here's the problem. They had a form of this knowledge that has experience and the truth of the law. But they didn't have the full workings of this word, knowledge. Why? Because they didn't use it. They had the knowledge, but they wouldn't do it. And that's what he says. That's why Paul says in verse 21 what he says. Look what he said in verse 21. "Thou therefore, which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? In other words, you boast of being one who knows so much about the Bible, but you won't do it yourself. That's what he's basically saying there, right? So we need to be careful. I think we can, you know, I'm not trying to categorize us tonight. I'm just saying that I think we need to be careful sometimes when we think we have wisdom about something because we're starting to identify wisdom as some kind of a tangible object that we can work for, like a karate belt or something. Like we go to karate class and we're going to get the yellow belt or the brown belt, or I don't even know what order they go in, okay? And I'm not scoffing at the karate belts. I'm just saying that's not how wisdom works. You don't work for it in that manner. You don't just gain knowledge and then bang, you've got wisdom. It doesn't work like that. Otherwise, you'll fit into this category. Wisdom is beyond the book knowledge. And it shows up whenever you take it and use it as a skill. You apply it to your life. You, through humble obedience, do what you've learned from the Bible or from God. People generally misunderstand a couple things about wisdom. First, people misunderstand generally that if they know the Bible, then they have wisdom. That's a misunderstanding and it's wrong. But then there's a flip side to that. Because it's not always that we think we have wisdom because we know the Bible. It could be that some in here think you can't have wisdom because you're not smart enough. It might be that some of us think, well, I'll leave wisdom to the people who are smarter than me because I just don't have the intellectual capacity to be wise. That's a wrong assumption too. Because wisdom has nothing to do with how much you know. Wisdom has nothing to do with your intellectual capacity, your ability to learn. Wisdom has everything to do with what you do with what you do know. Right. What do you know? Oh, okay, you know those things. What do you do with it? Because if you use it, that is wisdom. You see? And whenever we see the word gnosis, that's what we're talking about. Experience, skill, the use of the knowledge that has been given. So I want you to mark this. Wisdom is natural when you humbly obey God. Wisdom is natural when you humbly obey God. What do I mean by that? Well, it means it doesn't matter how much you know or don't know about the Bible. It doesn't matter how smart you do or don't think you are. It's what do you do with the knowledge you have and that you've been given? Praise the Lord, we have those that are able to give us wise counsel. Aren't you glad for wise counsel? I am. Wise counsel has led me in the right direction many times when I didn't know. Just listening to wise counsel has helped me. And those of you who have done that, you're thankful for that too. I know you are. But we don't just rely on wise counsel. No. We need wisdom ourselves. We need to be wise. We cannot rely on the wisdom of others. We need it. And here's what's so powerful, and praise the Lord about this. You can have it. Well, you know, Pastor, eventually I'll get there. I will get there where I have enough knowledge so that I can be wise. Wrong. You're thinking wrong. Wisdom happens immediately when you start obeying. It's natural. It naturally happens. As soon as you start obeying God, what you know He wants you to do, naturally what happens is wisdom happens. It just, bang, it's there. Okay? So this is a powerful concept. Ethan, you turn around and sit. You're in trouble, buddy. You are not being good. I apologize. Now I saw everybody else go, whew. You're not in trouble, just him. So knowledge, Peter is speaking of humble obedience to God, isn't he? This gnosis. How do we know that? Well, we went to Romans 2 and we did some word study here. And we found that Peter was talking to these Jews who knew the Bible, but they wouldn't do it. They don't have wisdom. They had a form of knowledge. A form of knowledge isn't the same as having knowledge that Paul and Peter are speaking of. We can't just know things. We have to live it. This is what breaks my heart. Listen, this breaks my heart. There's along the way, there's just, you know, I think we get the impression or the feeling that if we just add things intellectually and we pad our knowledge of things, it's going to make us more wise. But we can have wisdom now. We can have wisdom without padding our knowledge of the Bible. Yes, learn. I'm not, through these definitions of these words, telling you you shouldn't learn and continue to learn the Bible. No, we need to continue to learn. We're able to be more wise the more we know, because we're able to know more what God wants us to do. But if we don't apply what we do know, then there's no wisdom there. So we need to make application now. And that's, and it's, you know, maybe in a nutshell, this is the word knowledge unpacked for us. And we get wisdom when we become a doer, when we become a doer of the word. And it is natural when we obey what God wants us to do. A wise Christian then, therefore, listen, actively relies on God. Isn't that right? I mean, you get up in the day and you say something like this: God, whoo, I need you today. And then tomorrow you get up and you do the same thing. And you just live for him. And you just try to do what he wants you to do. And you know, we have those days, don't we? Well, yes, we didn't do so well today. Well, I'm in that club. We all have those days. I didn't obey God. And you know, sometimes those days extend for longer periods of time than we want them to be. But any moment, any time, you can get back in the realm of God's biblical wisdom when you decide to obey him again. Wisdom becomes natural. It becomes a natural byproduct of your obedience. Yeah. I would, in the past, ask many young people along the way if they would want to be wise. And they always would say, I want to be wise. Brother Ben, I want to be wise. I've never asked any Christian who told me, no, Pastor, I actually would rather not be wise. I would actually rather be foolish. Nobody's ever said that to me. But then it feels like, remember how I started off, just almost intangible sometimes. How do I get it? How do I become wise? Just obey. Humbly obey. You don't have to try to get wisdom. It will come. It comes along with humble obedience. One of the biggest struggles my kids have, I think they get it from their dad, and now don't amen this, but one of the biggest struggles they have is putting things back where they go, okay? You know, so we have toys splattered everywhere, Legos all over the place, you know. Don't walk upstairs with the light off. That's your warning, okay? With bare feet. That's another part of it. Don't do that. Toys everywhere, clothes, you know, you know, it's not like my kids don't know where this stuff goes. Do they have the knowledge? Yes. We're going to have supper tonight. Or breakfast. Breakfast is the worst. Okay? And we get the bowls out, cereal, or eggs and bacon, like this morning. Hallelujah. Don't get jealous, but we had a good breakfast today. We have the breakfast spread there, and it's all pancakes sometimes, and we have breakfast, and it's great. And then everybody's gone. And there's syrup, like, I don't know what's going on here, but there's how we put syrup on our pancakes. Like, all right, we just got to do the table too, you know. And there's a mess. It's a mess. I'm amazed how messy it can be. Yeah, and I'll admit, okay, it doesn't fall far from the tree on that, but it's a mess. And then they leave. And they leave it. Do they know how to clean the table off? Yes. Do they know where the dishes go? Yes. Do they know how this whole process works? Yes. But the knowledge isn't doing a bit of good because they're not using it. They're not wise just because they know. They're wise when they obey, when they know what to do and they do it. Wisdom is there. That's what brings wisdom. That's the knowledge Peter is talking about. So whenever we say, add to your faith virtue. That's virtue is stand where God stands. And then he says, whenever you do that, whenever you have moral values, then what naturally happens as a byproduct in the end of standing where God stands on issues in this world is God begins to change your actions so that as you learn the scriptures, you're making application of the scriptures to your life. And therefore, really, this is awesome how this works. But when you add virtue, knowledge becomes almost a natural thing so that you're doing the things you know God wants you to do. As you've learned, they become a byproduct of your character. And so this is number two. Wisdom, our second principle. Wisdom is natural when you obey God. I hope you've noted that. And I look forward to next time. And we'll be in verse 5 of 2 Peter. Add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue, say it, or virtue knowledge, and to your knowledge what? Temperance. Let me see, who in here? I better not start pointing fingers. Every time you point, there's always at least three fingers pointing back at you, right? Oh, we all need temperance. Looking forward to it. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for this encouragement from your word on knowledge, wisdom. I pray that you'll help us to be a doer of the word and understand how critical it is to our spiritual growth. Pray that your people are encouraged tonight. Help them to see that wisdom can be applied. This knowledge can be applied to anyone. It has nothing to do with intellectual capacity. It has everything to do with obedience. Pray you'd help us to move in obedience forward for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.